Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
It's the Tuesday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack, and with me is, well, the guy who finally mastered the floss dance. That would be Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. If anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, those blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays over there, excuse me. So you can look for something popping up brand new over there, hopefully sometime tomorrow morning. Of course, you know, just stop by there on a daily basis and see what's going on. So, of course, don't forget, we also have the link there to the Facebook page. So swing on over there. And while you're there, hey, give that a like. Don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Of course, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three E's.
All right, Dan. So apparently there was a ton of breaking news today, and I'm not even sure if you realized it, but on the heels of the Andrew Luck retirement, Rob Gronkowski gave a speech today. And apparently, Dan, from the way these two things are going, playing in the NFL is a very painful proposition.
Well, isn't that kind of well done?
Yeah, I kind of thought that too, but I think every show I saw on the Mickey Mouse Network, and even a couple on like Fox Sports 1 I flipped by, were acting like it was breaking news that NFL players get hurt and they have long-term injuries from having long careers in the NFL. So I thought, you know. You know, I just didn't get it. I mean, it's kind of weird. It's almost like, you know, and I guess the only way I can look at it is it's like they treat the fans like they're stupid. You know, almost like we don't understand that, you know, these guys are taking big hits on a weekly basis and, you know, they're exposing their bodies to these kind of things. You know, and it literally, I guess the way to almost explain it, and you might understand this, I don't know if you've had to do this with your daughter or not, but it's almost like they're attempting to explain something to a child, you know, on like maybe something, you know, they did something that they didn't understand was wrong or, you know, something to that effect. And literally, I feel like they're trying to hold my hand and walk me through this scenario. The humorous thing I found about this is this went on with Gronkowski today while he was announcing the opening of his CBD oil company.
Oh, good for him. I mean, it's one of those big investments that they're all making now, right?
Yeah. So.
Well, I mean, it could be worse. You know, they could work for the UFC, and they could be like Paige Van Zandt, who make more off of Instagram sitting at home posing for pictures that are sponsored posts than she does, you know, kicking ass and getting her ass kicked in the octagon. That will no doubt leave her with lifelong injuries when she decides to wrap up the UFC career. So, I mean, you know, again, this whole pity me parade just doesn't do anything. So I also feel bad for you because you decided to compete in one of, you know, let's be honest, the most physically damaging sports because you wanted to make money.
Yeah.
I was going to feel bad for
you. You know, that's, you know, my, you know, well, I guess especially Well, I guess this is me more than you. I mean, I know you have some lingering injuries, but, you know, where's my pity party? You know, I spent 25 years as an idiot trying to make it in the wrestling business. You know, I've had 5 knee surgeries. You had your ankle worked on. I can barely walk. I've got so much arthritis in my body that, you know, almost every move I make has, just sitting here doing the podcast with you, I have some kind of pain. I don't hear, you know, I'm not a millionaire. I didn't make a million. I didn't make millions of dollars like they did. You know, I can't open my own CBD oil company. I don't have that kind of cash. You know, where, you know, why doesn't anybody want to talk to me or about me or you?
I mean, I've injured every body part. You know, when we have humidity, you know, my knees kill, my right hand kills. You're doing nothing. I can just be sitting there.
Yeah.
But do I cry about it? Because of what I chose to do?
Sadly, I do like to cry about it. The only problem is nobody will listen to me. So, you know, I would love to complain to somebody, but yeah, no, yeah, no, nobody cares. So, you know, that's just kind of, you know, kind of the way it is. So, but yeah, I guess that was, you know, my biggest thing with it is, you know, okay, I get it, you know, but yeah, like you said, they made this choice. You know, I didn't say, hey, you've got to go be a professional football player and, you know, get hit every week. You know, I mean, you could, other guys have chosen to go other routes. They could have done that.
Well, and, you know, you would remember better than I would. The 24-year-old former Raider who decided to just, you know, when he decided to do it, he was throwing away a career. But, you know, because he didn't want to spend a life being injured.
Yeah. So, you know, that was, you know, his choice. You know, I totally understand. I know there were a lot of people killing Andrew Luck for, you know, the way he kind of made what is retired, but he almost made it seem like rehabbing from the injuries was too hard for him, and that's why he kind of walked away. That's really not, you know, the reasoning there. It just, you know, maybe he chose his wounds badly, or, you know, sorry, it just came off the wrong way. But, yeah, it, you know, it's a painful business, and, you know, that's what he chose to do. And, you know, like, you know, Gronkowski almost made it seem like he would consider coming back. You know, like he said, physically he's in shape to play football, but not mentally. And it
no,
was kind of like, wait a
million
minute,
dollars.
Are you into so.
No, I mean, that makes a ton of sense. I'm sure you had that mentality at some point, but, you know, like you said, we were both kind of stupid. And there wasn't a if. It was just a matter of when we were going back, and maybe that first clothesline or, you know, whatever big bump you took was a little nerve-wracking at first. But, I mean, now at my age, I thought about it, and then I realized that it's not going to happen because it's mental. I can physically do it. I'm not in shape, but I can physically do it. But mentally,
yeah,
I can.
Well, you know, like, you know, since I still have friends hanging around in the business, I actually still get offers from time to time. You know, there's times they you know, they'll say, hey, you know, do you think you can come in and do this? It's like, no. And, you know, I mean, as great as it would be and as much as, you know, I'm telling myself, yes, go do it, go do this, you know, I realize, you know, just walking down my stairs to go to my regular job in the morning is tough enough. You know, I don't know if I could walk to the ring or stand in the ring for, you know, a 5-minute or 10-minute match. So, yeah, I mean, anybody else who did what we did for a long time, you know, the guys who watch on, you know, Mondays and Tuesday nights and soon to be Wednesdays, they're going to go through problems like this. But, you know, it just doesn't seem, I guess maybe because they consider it a fake sport that they don't talk about it, but it's still, it's still a painful thing to do. And, it's just weird when I hear them, again, it was more the way they presented it than anything else. Like, you know, I was some grueling idiot and didn't understand that football was a physical game.
I mean, do you think for a minute, though, he was addressing the people who booed Luck when they found out during the game that he was quitting or retiring?
No, because they kind of did that on their own. A lot of people have done that the day before. I find that, that was garbage. You don't... he doesn't owe you anything. I mean, he gave you 6 or 7 years there. There was no reason to boo him. But I understand that's how, people are. And, that's just like, hey, great, here you go. I'm sure there were morons burning their Luck jersey so they could go out and buy a Jacoby Brissett one. So, but yeah, I just, like I said, that was more of my problem with kind of the way they presented it more than, anything else. And I'm under the impression that, with all the cuts at the Mickey Mouse Network, they don't have multiple writers for each show because every statement was very similar. The wording was very similar. You could tell that whoever ended up writing it, they just used it for all the shows.
Any chance it was all AP related?
It's possible. Maybe that's where they're getting their stuff from. So,
I mean, you remember when we first tried digging on the allegations on A-Rod and that Dr. Miami, every single article we pulled up was Associated Press.
Yeah.
I think except for one Yahoo article. And even the Miami Herald, the local papers, there was no local writer on it. It was AP.
Yeah, and it's humorous. You would think, the local people would be all over that, but mm-hmm. I guess not. So, but all right, enough of that garbage. I did see, Dan, I thought this affected you more than anybody else, that Jeremy Lin has signed to play in the Chinese Basketball Association next season. He is now with the Beijing Shougang Ducks. So I guess maybe that's one more Jeremy Lin jersey you could add to your collection. So, do you have a Jeremy Lin jersey? I'm not even sure.
Not a jersey.
No. So, because, yeah, I thought, this should be a... probably a pretty good move for him. It seemed like, his NBA career was kind of winding down. And, to be fair, even though he wasn't a gigantic contributor, he does go out winning a title. He was on the Raptors last year.
Yeah.
So, obviously he's going to be hugely popular over there. You know, I mean, even the article mentions that he has a large fan base in Asia. So, you know, it's not going to be a problem at all for him to get some support or that team to pick up some support. So, and he is going to a team. It says here they've won three league titles in recent years. So he's going to a pretty good team over there.
Yeah, but he's no Marbury.
No, well, oddly, he's going to the team that Marbury used to play for.
Yeah.
So, you know, but, yeah, you know, I mean, the guy had his, you know, had his moments in the NBA. You know, no doubt about it. I mean, for a while, you know, that was, you know, Linsanity and, you know, everybody was kind of, you know, off the rocker, but you know, like a lot of things, you know, it didn't last, and he kind of found his role. But you know, I want to see what his stats from last year were. Yeah, he actually started the season with Atlanta, ended up in Toronto. Averaged 9.6 points a game last year. And did he get to play in the playoffs? Where are the playoff stats here? Come on. Jeez. Yeah, he appeared in 8 playoff games for Toronto, but he only averaged 3.4 minutes a game. So very, very minimal playoff time. But again, you know, he's going out with a – you know, going out with as an NBA champion.
Well, and I was going to say, didn't you feel like he was hung around a lot longer than you expected?
Yeah, you know, I think so, because, you know, even with those, you know, when he had the breakout years and, you know, the Linsanity stuff was going crazy, he never averaged more than 15 points a game. You know, his career high was 14.6 points per game. So, you know, I mean, I know we were all kind of caught up in it, and he was, you know, I mean, everybody loved him because he seemed like such a, you know, a normal, I guess you want to say normal Asian guy. You know, he went to Harvard and, you know, he was only 6'3", so he wasn't gigantic in the league. But, yeah, you know, I think he did a you know, he had made a fantastic career out of, you know, what he had. And over the nine years, they have him making a little over $65 million. So it looks like he did okay for himself.
Well, yeah, I didn't realize he went to Harvard.
So, yeah, you know, and, you know, and obviously he'll, you know, he'll pick up some good money over there in the Chinese Basketball Association. And who knows, maybe he'll decide to come back and give it one more run, or, you know, possibly one more year if there's somebody he wants to, you know, maybe there's somebody he wants to sign with to try to win another title. So, but yeah, I just thought that was kind of interesting that he's going to go over there and play next year, and we'll have to see how it goes. So, you know, and all that was the positive NBA story that came out. The negative one was apparently, now, you know, DeMarcus Cousins looks like he's going to miss all of next year with another injury. But I guess that hasn't stopped him from harassing an ex-girlfriend who went to seek a restraining order against good old Boogie. I want to see if they have it in here. And no surprise, Dan, who breaks this story?
TMZ.
There you go. Yeah, her name is apparently Christy West is what they have her name is here. And the quote she uses is, Cousins said he would put a bullet in her effing head during an argument over allowing their 7-year-old son to attend Cousins' wedding to another woman. I also saw somebody say that she claimed that he choked her, but that doesn't say anything in this article here. So, I know they reached out for Cousins. Obviously, he didn't want to comment. He didn't make any comment. So, we'll see where this goes. Now, Dan, you know, the odd, or I guess we'll call this the strange part of this, is obviously this is a big allegation. You know, if this was an NFL player who did this, they would be talking about it on every segment of the Mickey Mouse Network. Why do they bury it with the NBA because they've got so much money invested?
I mean, throw on your foil hat or not, I think so.
No, because let's face it, you know I'm right. If this was almost any other league, and especially the NFL, it would, you know, they would be trying to get the girl on the air. You know, they would be doing everything they possibly could to promote this, story and talk about, you know, the domestic violence negatives. The only thing I've seen on this one, Dan, is it's been on the crawler on their network. So, you know, and I mean, I'm sure their excuse is going to be, we don't have all the information available yet. But you and I know that's BS because they report all kinds of stuff without all the information available.
Mm-hmm. As long as one guy gives the info.
Right. So, I mean, the only thing I can think of, Dan, here is they're burying this because they've got hundreds of millions of dollars invested in the NBA.
They would never do that.
So, you know, I mean, you got another idea? So,
because it's not the NBA season?
Yeah, like that stops them from talking about the NBA, huh? You know, I mean, they talk about that kind of regardless. Well, you know, and again, that definitely has to do with all the money they have invested in it, because, you know, they need to keep it in, you know, in people's ear. But, like we always say, we don't really know what goes on. It'll be, you know, her word against his word. I don't know if Cousins has a history of this. You know, I don't know if this is his first accusation or not. But it obviously it's a pretty serious one. The other odd thing here, Dan, is if it's say it's true and this did happen, he's gonna be out all of next season anyway. Can they punish him?
You never know. Well, the NBA, do they really have a policy on that, or?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't know. You know I would assume with the way things have went on, they've had to have come up with something, right?
They should have. But I mean, we haven't really heard this issue. I don't. Maybe I'm wrong. But I feel like we haven't had this issue come up in the NBA.
No, well, yeah, they do. You know, they do a good job of hiding it. So, you know, with all the the help and the stuff they get from the network, they do a wonderful job of covering up anything that could come out and hurt the league. So, and then I don't know if you caught this one. I kind of noticed this yesterday as just kind of an odd, like, side thing. Which, because of Kurt, the Lakers needed to do something. So they decided to bring back Dwight Howard. But oddly, apparently before they were willing to bring him back, he had to have a meeting with the veterans. Because I didn't realize, Dan, apparently he's one of the least liked players in the NBA.
Yeah, I've heard that.
So I guess it's nothing anything he does. It's just kind of the way he acts. And, like, the report I saw said the veteran players brought him in and basically told him that he can no longer act like Dwight Howard. So how is he supposed to act?
I mean, I don't really know what his issue was.
So, yeah, I don't know either. You know, it was just kind of strange, but I guess it explains, you know, the fact that he's bounced around so much. I mean, you know, in Orlando, he looked like he was going to be a guy that was going to lead them to, you know, championships. You know, then he spent that one odd year with the Lakers before bouncing over to Houston. And, you know, then he's been with Atlanta, Charlotte, and Washington in the last 3 years. Now, he only played 9 games last year because he was injured. I think technically he was with Memphis. I believe Washington somehow managed to ship him to Memphis in one of those strange NBA trades. Yeah, they traded him in July to Memphis, who released him. So that's how he was free to sign with the Lakers. But, yeah, it's just kind of a, you know, an odd scenario. And, I mean, you know, Dan, we're looking at a guy who, when it's all said and done, is probably a Hall of Famer. But, you know, with the things you heard, you wouldn't think so, would you?
No, you would not think so at all.
So, you know, yeah, so I don't know. I mean, you know, obviously the Lakers aren't going to need him to score. He's basically there to play, you know, to rebound and hopefully block some shots and then just get the ball to LeBron and get out of the way. So as long as he can stay healthy, he should fit this role pretty well. Yeah, I was just more – I just didn't understand the whole you can't actually – Dwight Howard.
I mean, was he supposed to act like he doesn't want to be there?
That's what I'm trying to figure out. Is how is he supposed to act? You know, it just I don't know. Let me see if I can get up your favorite search engine here and see if anything else will pop up for me, because I haven't been able to find a ton of info on it. But yeah, it just it's just so odd when you think about it that they actually had to have a meeting before they were made a sign with him. Yeah, I think this is a video, so this probably won't do any good. But yeah, the Lakers players issued Howard a warning before they were going to agree to sign him.
I don't know. The league, the association, is kind of becoming the most ridiculous one. It's almost like some kind of weird gang. No, I don't want to say gang, but mafia.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, one, but I understand coming from the Lakers saying, you're going to bring in a guy who probably has a voice, probably who will stand up for himself, who will speak his mind. And what he's got has to know is that it's LeBron's team. You know what I mean? It's not his team. It's the Kings' team. So much so that even later, Magic Johnson got kicked out. Well, he retired or quit, but, I mean, let's be honest. Too much stress from the one single player on the court. So, you know, maybe you could take it with a grain of salt, but I don't know. It's one of the leagues that, while it's player-run, how great is that going to be for the future of the game? I mean, you talked about it numerous times. ESPN spent hundreds of millions of dollars to take this league on and showcase it. And in the wake of that, ratings fell. Everyone got fired. Not everyone, but a lot of people got fired. And now, you know, why don't we even watch the, you know, the postseason of the NBA? Because you and I decide who's going to be in it before the season even starts, which, you know, I knew we both picked, obviously, Golden State, but I don't even, you know, it didn't matter. No one even really kind of cares anymore what the outcome of the NBA is. It's cool to be there live, but.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you know, my thing, I think we even mentioned it. I don't enjoy watching a game where, you know, there's no real, you know, concept of what they do. Is you either dunk or you kick it out and you shoot a three-pointer. There's, you know, there's no in-between. So,
Yeah,
because they kick it out to the three-point line. The only time you dunk now is when you're on a fast break. So, you know.
Yeah, which cracked me up here in Chicago. I'm, you know, Bulls, Lakers. LeBron has this monster dunk. And I was like, I mean, it was cool. I go, but guys, come on. You have two crap place teams, and LeBron had this massive dunk that was on nobody.
Yeah.
It wasn't even a competitive dunk.
Well, you know, and like the funny thing I heard, you know, the NBA players, you know, through the summer, they do camps and, work with kids. I believe, didn't your nephew went to something, but that was football related, wasn't it? Like Devin Hester or something like that?
Yeah, well, Dwayne Wade still actually comes out to the high school right by my house.
Oh,
I forgot who. He brought along, I think Khalil Mack came with him this year.
Oh, wow. So, but yeah, they had it at James Harden's camp, where one of the kids actually flat out asked him, you know, hey, why do you travel, you know, every time you have the ball? Because it's clear if you've ever watched Harden do his what they call his Euro step, the travel. And his response to the kid was, well, it's not a travel because the referees don't call it. Yeah, okay, great. That's fantastic.
I mean, is it? It's not. It's true, though. That's one of the things that kills me about the NBA, is the NBA is literally the only sport that can be determined by the officials.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong. Yes, you know, everyone's going to jump on Twitter and, whatever, and start yelling at us that, don't forget about that bad call and the Saints should have been in the Super Bowl. Yeah. That was a bad call. There's a difference when there's a bad call as opposed to an NBA referee blatantly turning his head so he doesn't see the illegal action going on, or somehow missing the fact that LeBron's own teammate elbowed him in the face and LeBron completely flopped on the floor like one of the greatest stuntman I've ever seen. Now, maybe I'm exaggerating on that one a little bit. But.
So, just odd how, you know, it's so odd how you can watch it on TV and see a guy travel, but the referee looking at the play can't see the guy travel. So, but all right, well, let's shift it up here. We'll get into some baseball. Let me give you the schedule for tonight as Dan jumps on break here real quick. We got the Orioles at the Nationals. The Pirates are at the Phillies. The Braves are at the Blue Jays. That's your Mickey Mouse Network Plus game if you're signed up there. The Cubs are at the Mets. I believe that's the MLB Network game tonight. We got the Indians at the Tigers. The Reds at the Marlins. The Cardinals are at the Brewers. The Twins are at, here's probably a take on the White Sox. The Rays at the Astros. The A's at the Royals. The Red Sox are at Colorado, so maybe that could be some big-time point game for your fantasy tonight. There could be a lot of bombs there. The Diamondbacks are at the Giants. The Rangers are at the Angels. And interestingly, that's a Fox Sports 1 game tonight. I didn't realize they were doing stuff during the week. But, yeah, we'll get that. You got the Dodgers at the Padres, and then the Yankees are still out in the Northwest to take on the Mariners. So, there's your setup tonight. So, you know, everybody's playing, everybody's rolling. And we will, see how it goes. But, I haven't said much about fantasy. I've been doing okay. I've been managing to pick up a little money. Not huge. Like, I think last night I bet $1.30 and I won $2.50. So I doubled my money. Like I said, I'm not getting someone in money. Tonight I decided to go with Patrick Corbin. So hopefully he will pay off. And, you know, we'll see how that goes for me tonight. And I think I have two Red Sox in my lineup. I think I have Xander Bogaerts and Mookie Betts. So hopefully they will produce a little bit and I will be okay.
Mookie.
So, but yeah, there are a couple things going on here, Dan. You know, St. Louis obviously just destroyed Milwaukee last night. I mean, that was just a beatdown. As the Brewers continue to slowly disappear because they have an overworked bullpen that nobody believed was going to happen, and they were going to run to the NL Central title again. And the other big thing tonight, Dan, we got the Cubs going on the road, where they haven't been good after just getting swept at home, to take on a Mets team that's been playing pretty well. Obviously, I believe these are the two wildcard teams. Is this an elimination if somebody gets swept?
I wouldn't say that it's an elimination yet, because there's still, 30 to 40 games left, but I think if someone gets swept, it makes it very difficult. And say the Cubs were to get swept, can they pull off, 20 game win in September? The win streak,
yeah. So. Funny because as much as I listen to the Cubs fans cry and whine and all the stuff they do, and even though they did get swept by the Nationals, they're still in the second wild card spot. So they would be a playoff team right now, even with all the crying going on. So it's unbelievable how spoiled these Cubs fans got from one World Series win. Because they didn't win anything else. They haven't even been back.
No.
But yet that one World Series win put them so far over that, when you just get in the playoffs or you just miss the playoffs, in this case you go on a losing streak, that, it's over and it doesn't matter what's going on and this is it and that's it and goodbye. But, yeah, it's similar because you would think that, 8 or 10 games out of the running with the way these people act.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. You know, Uncle Bob was all for the rebuild because he doesn't know jack about baseball. And, you know, got the hype from all the media and, you know, Kaplan and company. And, you know, well, don't you want years of playoff victory contention? And it's like, well, they got it once. They got the World Series once. And, you know, it's like they climaxed. They peaked with that World Series win. I mean, because wasn't it 17 with the one game, or was that last year?
That was last year with the one game. So,
yeah, you know, last year they lost the division.
Yeah.
I'll be back in 5 minutes.
Yeah, they weren't a playoff team last year. People seem to forget that. And what really kind of baffles me, and I can't understand this, is the Cubs offense has hit the exact same slump at the exact same time of the year as they did last year. And that's what cost them. And what I can't figure out is why hasn't anybody noticed this? You know, did we not remember from last year that they went through this? You know, I mean, they're supposed to have the, you know, quote unquote, one of the best managers to ever manage. And he can't solve this problem. I don't get that. So, you know, it's like, okay, great. Let's, you know, let's let the ship sink again 2 years in a row, because we're just apparently clueless on, you know, on how to go about it. And, you know, you have to kind of wonder more and more why a team with this much talent, and, you know, and let's face it, they have the best talent in the division. You can go down position by position or however you want to look at it, and this is the best team in the Central Division. You know, no ifs, ands, or buts about it, and somehow, you know, the Cardinals have gotten past them. You know, obviously they're playing, you know, fantastic baseball, and, you know, you wonder if they can keep it up, but it shouldn't be. I mean, the Cubs should be in a position like the Yankees, the Astros, the Dodgers, where they are separated from this division by so many games that it doesn't even matter, and yet we're here rolling into September, and they're 2.5 games out of first place. Why? You know, but yet everybody thinks Joe Maddon should come back next year. What has he done? You know, in reality, he was lucky to win a World Series. You know, he managed so poorly in that World Series that it was lucky the Cubs managed to win. He don't get any credit for doing anything there. He just happened to be the manager. So, you know, it goes on his record as World Series winner, but, you know, you could put an asterisk next to that as far as I'm concerned, because he didn't help out. He mismanaged that bullpen worse than Craig Counsell's done this year for the Brewers. So, you know, why? What's your reasoning to bring him back? They won a World Series, then they made the playoffs and got eliminated in, what was it, the division round? They didn't get in last year. They're barely hanging on this year. Why bring them back? What's the reasoning there? You know, I mean, would anybody else plugged into this spot do any worse? You know, I get that the media likes him because he's a good interview. You know, you're going to get the quote. He's going to give you the funny line. You know, he's going to do weird things that you're going to get to write about and talk about. It probably makes a long season not seem like it's dragging as much. But in the end, the object is here, you've got to win. And with a team like this, you've really got to be contending for a World Series. And he hasn't done that. Just bottom line, he hasn't done it. You know, I'm sure managers have been fired for less. So I don't get the, you know, the idea that he has to come back. And, you know, even if they, you know, say they do bring him back next year, I hope they only bring him back on a one-year basis. I don't want to see him get a multiple-year deal. Of course, my guess is he won't sign for just 1 year because he has a, you know, a, I'm sure he believes that he's worth more than that. So, he would probably want multiple years. I hope they just move on and we see, maybe it's Joe Girardi who's the guy. If not, maybe there's, somebody else out there. I'm sure guys would be lining up to manage this team, you know, because it's got a ton of talent.
Yeah, but wouldn't they just go and get a guy like the Dodgers coach?
Yeah, well, that's the thing you got to wonder. You know, would they just get a puppet so Theo could run it, or would they get somebody to manage it?
You know, because I think with Joe, he still has some control over his lineups and what he does. But, you brought up the slumps, which seem to happen around the same time. But what correlation does that have with the fact that nobody does batting practice anymore?
Right. Well, you've got to ask yourself, right?
I know we're just talking about practice. We're not a game. Not a game, but practice. But, no, I mean, seriously, how do they keep slumping? Are the conditions exactly the same every single day at Wrigley Field like they are, say, at Rogers Field or Park, whatever the hell the Blue Jays call it? No, the conditions aren't the same every single day.
We're talking about
not a game.
We're talking about practice.
There you go.
So, but you know what I mean? It's like they don't do batting practice, which oddly John Lester seems to be batting better than I've seen him bat in the past. So I find that one funny. The pitchers on the Cubs seem to be stepping to the plate like they're actual batters as opposed to guys just standing up there. But, there's that issue. They have one of – prior to this season's start, and when you look at it on paper, they have hands down the best pitching staff in baseball, next to the Dodgers maybe. I really – trying to think off the top of my – oh, the Astros. I think those are the three with the best pitching rotations in baseball. And the Cubs have it, but what they don't have is the bat to back it. And all everyone can talk about is the fact that they're missing a leadoff hitter. Well, it's kind of hard when you don't put anyone in that spot for more than 3 days.
Right.
Well, let's try this guy. Well, he's not working. Well, let's get this guy. Let's send everyone back down to the minor league.
Yeah.
So we can bring up these other guys. Let's sign all these other guys that really add no depth or value to the team. And then what do we end up doing? Oh, it's August, and you finally realize that all your BS experiments didn't work. And guess who's back on the roster? Addison Russell. I mean, I don't even know what the analogy is for this, Big Jack. Is it you're sticking your foot in your mouth or up your butt? Or you have your thumb up? You know what I mean?
If they went
with a manager that was Dave Roberts, I would just go back to, well, I don't know. I guess I'd just go back to watching the Dodgers all the time.
Yeah. I will kind of eat my own words here. Castellanos has been a much better ad than I thought he would be.
Oh, yeah.
He's been fantastic offensively, and I don't believe I want to double-check here before I do that myself. I don't believe, he has not committed an error yet in 38 chances, so I'm really surprised by that. Because he's still a horrible defensive outfielder.
Yeah. But, you know, when you look at it in the grand scheme of things, when it comes to the Castellanos, you know, neither of us were excited about it, and we have to eat our own words on that. But it's not just him. It was all the crap you tried to fill in for second base. I mean, even Tony Kemp, oh, it's fun, it's exciting.
You're still trying to fill that crap in. So.
Yeah, but that's why they finally had to bring Russell back up. And, you know, everyone.
Yeah, well, you know, that's the thing that killed me. Run Russell out there, play him every day, let him play great defense, and work back
no,
into
we can't
the
do
hitter.
That.
Right.
We can't
no,
do that.
We've got to, you know, we've got to get somebody else in there.
Who hits home runs.
Right. You know, well, you know, even though we should have a fantastic offensive lineup, and you should be able to carry Russell while he's kind of going through these struggles, no, let's send him to Iowa because we have David Bodie who ended up in Iowa.
Yeah.
And we signed Daniel Descalzo.
Horrible defender.
Right. You know, we signed Daniel Descalzo who hit 181 before he got hurt. Oh, wait, we still have Ian Hop down there, so let's bring him up so he can hit 227 in his return. Are they waiting for Ben Zobrist to ride in on a white horse on September 1st and save him when the rosters expand?
How do you – I don't watch the TV as much, but it's all the NBC Sports Chicago updates I get from Facebook. Yes, that's all they could talk about. They had a Ben Zobrist home run tracker through single A – or I don't know if he hit it in single A, but I know he hit it in Myrtle Beach a couple of times. And I'm like, yay, that's great. He's hitting home runs with the juiced up MLB ball down in the minors where every at bat he should hit a home run. You know, everyone was excited about Haps at bats down there, and they didn't translate. Everyone has to quit acting like a .375 batting average in minor leagues translates to a .450 with 700 home runs in the majors. It doesn't work that way. You need to take off 200-plus points.
You know, and then just to throw this in here, Dan, you know, Tony Kemp is hitting a .167 with the Cubs.
Yeah, it was a waste.
Yeah, they're actually 5
pitchers. He wasn't even hitting when he was with Houston.
Yeah, the Cubs have had 5 pitchers this year who've hit better than Tony Kemp, and technically, and Daniel Descalzo right now. So,
did I tell you the pitchers are actually hitting? They must be taking secret batting practice. Don't tell Joe.
Yeah, no.
We gotta win the game for ourselves.
Yeah, that's almost kind of how it's stumbling into, isn't it? Is you know they're gonna have to want to win. You gotta do it yourself. So, you know, but yeah, some other baseball stuff. I don't know if you saw this. They hit Justin Turner with a 1-game suspension because he made contact with an umpire. But the other one I thought was incredibly stupid. Keon Broxton, Daniel, I have to go see if you can find this highlight somewhere. Of the Mariners got 2 games for throwing his glove at the umpire, his batting glove. Now, the funny thing about this, Dan, is Broxton, he gets rung up on just an embarrassing strike call. The ump should have been more upset that he called that a strike than anything else. You know, he drops the bat, he drops the helmet, he's walking away, he takes his batting glove off, and now he's not looking at the ump. He just kind of lets it fly over his shoulder, and it hits the ump. Now, I don't know if he's talented enough to do that intentionally, but there were a lot of people pointing the finger saying he did it on purpose. He did miss with the second glove, however. So I don't know.
Well, you know
that Velcro
can be very damaging.
Yeah.
To a face mask,
so,
protective geared umpire.
Yeah, oddly, and now here's a wonderful comparison for you, Dan. Keon Broxton got as many games for hitting an umpire with a batting glove as Clint Hurdle, the Pirates manager, did for instructing his pitchers to throw at batters.
Wow.
So there you go. They are the right. They are the same injustice in the eyes of the ML, in the eyes of Major League Baseball. You can, as a manager, it should only cost you two games if you instruct your pitcher to throw at hitters, as it would for throwing your batting glove and what actually could have accidentally hit an umpire.
Well, I mean, will La Russa allow that two games? Or I'm assuming he's going to appeal.
Yeah, both Broxton and Turner are both appealing. So we'll see how that goes. But yeah, it seemed relatively stupid. I saw the highlight, and I can see where they say he did it intentionally. I also think he's got a good case for saying it was just an accident. So,
I don't know. If I were in the majors right now and I had a really bad call, I would either blow a kiss or just blow wind at the umpire to see what would happen.
Then it's some other – I thought this was kind of an odd move when I saw it, but the Giants have decided to give Scooter Gennett his unconditional release. I kind of thought he was going to be a really good ad for them, but apparently, he hit .234 with two homers and six RBIs and 64 at bats for him. I don't know. Were they expecting more, or – are you surprised that they went this route? I mean, not much of a sample size.
No, not at all. I mean, like you said, they're kind of expecting what the Cubs were expecting out of their middle infield. The guy to come up and hit 350 and have 30 bombs.
Yeah,
he
put up some gigantic numbers in Cincinnati. That's a little better hitter's park than – where the Giants play their home game. So you couldn't really expect him to do that. But also you've got to wonder, remember he missed most of the year because of that groin strength. So you got to wonder if maybe he's still catching up.
Maybe that's why they gave him the release, so he can go work out or, not do baseball activities for the rest of the year. Before I run out of time, I forgot to mention when I was watching Sunday Night Baseball, A-Rod still actually poked fun at himself for his mistakes, and I kind of like that. But, I thought it was funny that he was bringing up the fact that the hitters need to hit these days and not just swing for the fences, and the fact that batters today, regardless of what the media tells you, basically, to sum up his words, don't give a damn about launch angle or exit velocity.
Yeah. Has he been listening to the podcast?
I think it's so funny that you get former ball players in the booth and they completely discount all of the Brian Kenny crap, yet still there. I just don't understand.
I don't know how many players I've heard come out against table stuff, but yet, they still keep pumping it down the throat.
Sports Time Radio.